What a sombering thought. What a sombering song. He doesn't want to leave one behind. He doesn't want to leave one behind. He wants everyone to experience the glory that his word tells us about. He wants everyone to experience the victory that can only be sought through the blood of Christ. This morning, we're going to be in the book of James. The book of James is a very powerful book. This morning, I want to focus on the first chapter. I want to focus on the aspect of faith. You've heard me preach a lot about faith the last 3 and 4 months. The reason that you've heard me preach a lot about faith is because that is where God has led me. If we don't have a faith, we don't have a hope. Our faith is in Jesus alone. As we walk every day of our lives upon this earth, our lives should be built upon a solid foundation. And it speaks of that solid foundation in the book of James as well. That solid foundation is Jesus Christ himself. So this morning, I'm going to ask you, who in here is dealing with a trial this morning? I'll be the first to raise my hand. I think many of us are dealing with trials. In the book of James, in the first chapter of the book of James, he speaks on how we can deal with our trials and how we can deal with our tribulations. And so, can you put up James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8? Because that's where my scripture is this morning. Dear brothers and sisters, if I could ask you to all stand, those of you that are able to stand, please do. In honor of God's word, not me. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. You may be seated. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we can actually use our trials and we can actually use our tribulations to pursue that victory that God's word tells us about. But that victory can only be pursued through the power and the name and the blood of Jesus Christ. And so our trials and tribulations, they are actually opportunities to grow our faith and to become more reliant upon God. A lot of people say, why did God do this to me? Why did God give me this cancer? Why did God put me through this divorce? Why did God put me through these situations that he's put me through? It's not God that's put you through those situations. A lot of the things that we face in our lives are the choices that we make in our lives. Now, some of those things aren't the results of our own choices. Some of those things are the result of sin in and of itself. But a lot of the trials and the tribulations that we face as Christians are a result of what we bring on to ourselves. And so this morning, We're going to go through God's Word. We're going to go through James chapter 1, and we are going to look and see how James instructs us to get through these trials, to get through these tribulations. Throughout God's Word, we see examples everywhere of individuals that actually turn defeat into triumph. Defeat into triumph. One of my favorite stories of the Bible is the story of Joseph. His brothers sold him into slavery. Now, Joseph could have, at that time, he could have became angry. He could have became bitter. And he could have sought revenge against his brothers. But what did he do? In the end, God had put him in a high position in the Egyptian government. And what did he do? He chose to bless his brothers. He chose to restore his relationships with his brothers. That's the power of the Almighty God that we serve. If you're willing to give up yourself and you're willing to give up your own wants and your own desires, God can do amazing things through the trials and the tribulations that you're facing today. It's all built upon faith. It's all built upon that rock, that solid foundation being Jesus Christ. You look at Paul. He was a persecutor of Christians, which ultimately, if he would have stayed on that path, he would have been defeated. But he chose to convert. And you look at what Paul did. He wrote the majority of the letters of the New Testament. And he wrote the majority of those letters from prison, being persecuted. You see, Paul used his trials. Paul used his tribulations for God's glory. God wants to use the trials. He wants to use the tribulations that you're facing in your life today for his glory. Are you willing to let him use your trials? Are you willing to allow him to do what it is that he desires to do because he wants to be glorified through your situation this morning? He doesn't want to see you broken. He doesn't want to see you go through those things that we go through in our lives on a daily basis. He wants to hold your hand. There's many other characters. You know, some of the other ones, as I was studying, one of the other ones that came to my mind was Peter. I think of Peter because I think of Peter as being defeated there when he denied Christ three times as the Romans asked him if he knew this Jesus. And what was Peter's response? Absolutely not. Three times. And he did it exactly those three times before the rooster crowed, as Jesus had told his disciples was going to happen. But you look at what Peter did with his life. Peter changed his life. He changed and he used it for God's glory. These are all examples. God didn't give us his word for us to skim over it. He gave us his word to deep dive into it. And look at what those individuals were facing, because I can guarantee you, if you pray over your situation, if you pray over your trial, and you seek his wisdom and you seek his guidance, and he puts you in his word, I can guarantee you he's going to put a story in front of you that rubs in your face and says, "This is me, God, thank you." But are you willing to do that this morning? Are you willing to do that? So you ask, how do we turn our trials? How do we turn our tribulations into triumph? And how do we turn our trials into this victory that I'm talking about through Jesus? There's four instructions that James gives us here in James chapter 1. Number one, consider it an opportunity for great joy when troubles of any kind come your way. Consider it an opportunity of joy when troubles come your way. Now, that doesn't mean to say if you've been diagnosed with cancer that you get up on your feet and say, "Yay, Jesus, I have cancer." That's not the kind of joy that I'm speaking of. The kind of joy that I'm speaking of is if you are diagnosed with cancer, or you're going through a divorce, or you're going through financial hardships in your life, consider it a joy that you can suffer along Christ. Because it's exactly what Christ did for us. God can defeat that cancer. God can defeat that divorce. God can defeat that financial hardship. He can defeat those things in His name if you're willing to allow Him to do so. So point number one, consider it an opportunity for great joy when troubles of any kind come your way. In these verses, James doesn't use the word if. It's very important to realize that James uses the word when. The troubles, the trials, the tribulations, they're coming your way. You better prepare for them. You better put on the armor of God, because the trials and the tribulations are going to come your way. As Christians, some of these trials and some of these tribulations are the result of human nature. And some of these trials, some of these tribulations are the result of attacks on us because we're Christians. We're being persecuted as Christians today. We're being persecuted as Americans today. We're being persecuted in so many ways today. But that shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. God's word has persecution all over it. The disciples were constantly persecuted. Jesus was constantly persecuted. If Jesus and his disciples were constantly persecuted, don't you think that we're going to be persecuted? We are going to be persecuted. And we see it all over God's word. Can you put up 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you were going through as if something strange were happening to you." These trials, they make us partners with Christ in His suffering. And they shouldn't come as a surprise to you. This morning when I woke up, I shared with you all at the beginning of the service, I woke up. As soon as my head came off that pillow, Satan decided that he was just going to attack me. He was going to try to pursue me, to knock me down so I couldn't get up here today. I refused to give Satan the authority. So immediately, as I felt Satan attacking me, what did I do? I reached out to my prayer warriors, because I know that my prayer warriors are going to be lifting me up in the name of Jesus. And what I needed this morning was people lifting me up saying, "Don't allow him to give in to the authority of Satan, because he doesn't have any." This morning, in your trials and your tribulations, are you giving in to that pursuit by Satan? I'm not going to give Satan any authority, because God's already cast him out of heaven. God's already cast him out of heaven. He's casted his demons out of heaven. He has no authority. You choose to give him that authority when he has it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. "Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Don't be surprised when other people hurt you. Don't be surprised when you're misunderstood. Don't be surprised when you're criticized. But most importantly, don't give up. Don't give up in your trials and your tribulations this morning. The last 4 months have been a challenge for me. I've had a part of that. And I'm sure everyone in here has been criticized. I'm sure many of us have been misunderstood. I assume many of us have been hurt. All those things have happened to me, and I'm not going to hide those things, because I have been hurt. But I know that the people that have hurt me, I know that the people that have criticized me, that's not those people doing that. That's Satan trying to work through and get authority through those people. So in the name of Jesus, just as Jesus forgave me, I'm willing to forgive them. And I'm willing to move past that, because I don't want to focus on that. I want that trial. I want that tribulation. I want that criticism. I want that hurt. I want that misunderstanding to be used for God's glory and not my own. So you are going to suffer persecution. And when you suffer persecution, and we're going to walk through this. I'm just kind of getting hung up on some things as we get through point one. But we're going to walk through how to do this. But you're going to suffer that persecution. You in those trials and those tribulations, you're going to say, God, I can't do this. I just want to give up. I've been there. There's been times in the last 4 months where I've wanted to raise my hand and say, God, I can't continue. I've got to give up. And God said, absolutely not. You get out there on the battlefield and you go. And you do what I tell you to do. It was like a butt spanking from God. And when God gives you a butt spanking, you don't like it. I got a lot of butt spankings from my dad, and I didn't like them growing up. But when you get one from God, you feel it. And so, through the trials, through the tribulations that we face as Christians, you can't give up. You got to look at those trials. You got to look them directly in the face and say, God, I have this through your power. I know you can overcome it. I seek your wisdom. We see many biblical characters that suffered persecution and didn't give up. The last part of my devotions over the last 4 months, I was in the book of Daniel. I love the book of Daniel because you really see a warrior in Daniel. He was willing to stand firm in his faith. And so, as Daniel, as the king issued the edict that he couldn't, or any of the Israelite exiles, none of them could bow down and pray. They could only pray to the statues of the king. David said, no. David said, no. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying to the one and only God, Jehovah God. And Daniel refused to give in to the world. He refused to give in to the king. And as a result, he was thrown into a den of lions. Did that get Daniel down? Absolutely not. It got him excited. He was thrown into that den of lions. And what happened? We all know what happened. He came out of that den of lions unscathed. Not only unscathed, but the king was amazed at what his God did. Are you living like Daniel today? Are you looking at the trials that God is putting you through or is allowing you to go through? Are you looking at those trials and those tribulations and do you have the faith of Daniel? Do you have the faith of Paul? Do you have the faith that Moses had? Well, this morning we're going to talk about how to look at those trials and how to look at those tribulations and how to overcome them. Our marriage trials, our financial trials, depression, abandonment, addiction. How are you handling those trials? And I'm sure each of us in here can say that we're going through some of those things. James tells us how to go through those, how to get through these things. The bottom line is that we should expect trials to happen. Christ warned himself that trials were going to happen, that persecution was going to happen. It says in John chapter 16, verse 33, this is Jesus speaking directly. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That should get us excited. Jesus has overcome the world. The cross has overcome death. The cross has overcome the grave. The cross has overcome hell. here in this verse, John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus was telling the disciples that they would not be alone upon his death. Jesus doesn't abandon us in our struggles either. He doesn't want us to feel alone. He doesn't want us to feel abandoned. Just as he was telling the disciples in this verse, in John 16, 33, Jesus is with us today. Jesus wants to hold your hand. He wants to give you the strength. But most importantly, he wants to give you the victory through what you're facing today. If we can remember that the ultimate victory has already been won through Jesus Christ, we can claim the peace of Christ in our most difficult times, in our most difficult situations. Are you claiming that peace this morning? So how should we respond? Consider it a joy. We should consider our trials and tribulations a joy by immediately developing a joyful attitude. In the midst of a storm, some might say it's hard to develop a joyful attitude. But God's Word tells me that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have a joy that goes beyond peace. You have a joy that goes beyond understanding. You have a joy in your heart that is always there, no matter how dark it may be. And that joy can only be found in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. Can you put that up, please? The apostles left the high council, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. Peter and John, here in Acts chapter 5, they had just suffered a beating. They had just been flogged. This was the first time any of the apostles had actually been physically abused for their faith. And John and Peter were arrested due to the fact that the Sadducees were jealous for the healing that had just been done. And here in these verses that we just read, John and Peter were considering it a blessing. They were considering it joy for what they had just experienced by being flogged. Now, I find it hard to think about being flogged as being joyful. That doesn't sound very joyful to me. There's trials and things that we face in our lives that aren't very joyful. But it's still joyful to know that you have Christ walking you through those trials and walking you through those tribulations. And here in Acts chapter 5, John and Peter, they had been arrested and they had just been flogged, but they were excited because they were being allowed to participate in the ministry of Jesus, in the ministry of the kingdom. Can you put up Romans chapter 5, verse 3? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. That's the thing about trials. That's the thing about the tribulations that we face. It helps us develop endurance. It helps us to become more reliant upon God. It helps us to have a deeper faith. If we did not go through trials, if we didn't go through the tribulations that we go through in life, would we truly rely on God? Would we truly rely on Jesus Christ? Would we truly be the Christians that God desires for us to be? Absolutely not. You all know what happens when everything is going our way. We turn our eyes off God. We turn our eyes off Jesus. When things are good, when you're up on top of the mountain and you can see the valley, you're happy. But you're happy in the world's eyes because you're on top of the mountain and you're not down in the valley. But that moment when you get back down into that valley, that moment when you're hit with a trial or with a tribulation, you immediately turn to God because that's the only thing you can do. You can turn to God, or you can turn to the world. My prayer this morning is that none of us, through our trials and tribulations, are willing to turn to the world for its answers. The world's answers are killing our country. The world's answers are killing the church. The world's answers are killing our world. We have to step up as His children and take our church back. We have to step up as His children and take our country back. We have to step up as His children and take our world back. But the only way to do that is not to respond with the way that the world is responding. The only way to take the church back, the only way to take the country back, the only way to take the world back is to rely on God and allow God to fight our battles for us. Are you letting God fight your battles for you? Well, maybe if you're fighting them yourself, maybe that's why you don't have the joy of the Lord. Maybe that's why you don't have the joy of the Lord. Knowing that when your faith is tested, your endurance has that chance to grow. That's point number two. And that can be seen here in John chapter 1. Knowing that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. The right knowledge concerning the value of our trials makes it possible to have that joyful attitude. We should understand the following. Subpoint A, trials test our faith. Trials test our faith. In your trials, you determine whether or not your faith is in Christ, or you determine whether your faith is in the world. It can't be a mix. It can only be one or the other. So, we must understand, number one, trials test our faith. Number two, tested faith can bring positive results. Tested faith can get you closer to Christ. It can get you in a closer walk with God. It can do things such as getting you into that calling that God is trying to put you into, that you've been trying to avoid because you don't want to answer that calling. God can do great things through testing our faith. We simply have to be willing to go through those trials, and we simply have to be willing to reach out our hand and grab the hand of God and allow God to do what He desires to do. Because God knows how to work things out. God has a desire to work things out in a peaceful way where everybody is glorified and not one or the other. We as Christians, we as the world, we want to be glorified over somebody else, but that's not what God's Word calls us to. God calls us to work together in a unified spirit. He calls us to work together as one. We're not in a competition. We're one. So let's use the trials. Let's use the tribulations. Let's use these testings of our faith to bring the positive results, to point the world back to Christ, to point the church back to Christ, to point this country and its government leaders back to Christ. Can you put up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. I want to read that verse one more time, for that gets me very excited. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through these many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. That's a powerful verse. Trials help refine us. Trials get the impurities out of us. Because in serving Christ, we've talked about this over and over and over the last several weeks. God has to refine us. He has to get us out of the equation. There is no room for our impurities in God's work. God has to take those impurities out of us. You know, the trials show that our faith is genuine. Just as a runner has to train for a marathon. If you're going to run a 2-mile marathon and you've never ran before, are you going to get out there on the track and run 2 miles all at once? If you get out there on the track and you run 2 miles all at once, what's going to happen? Me, I can speak for myself. I'm going to drop dead. I'm going to end up in the fetal position on the track. Just ask my wife. She can confirm that. In serving God, in allowing God to refine us, we can't just go out and run 3 miles in a loop serving God. God has to train us up. God has to refine us. God has to mold us. God has to make us. And the way that He does that is through testing our faith, using these trials and these tribulations to make our faith stronger, to make us more reliant upon Him, and to remove more and more of ourselves. Through this realization and understanding, we know that testing works for us and not against us. It's important to understand that testing our faith works for us and not against us. God's not using our trials and our tribulations against us. God is allowing those things to happen for the betterment of us, to make us better Christians, to make us better people, to refine us more and more, to be better servants. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." There is a purpose in our suffering. We should see our troubles as opportunities to grow in our faith, to remove our pride, to become stronger. That's the purpose of our trials. That's the purpose of our tribulations. It's not to be evil to us. God's plans aren't plans of destruction. God has good plans for us, but He has to mold us and He has to make us into what He desires for us to be before we can be effective for His work. He can't use a babe in Christ, somebody that's just accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to immediately get up and preach. God has to work. He has to refine His children. He has to make us what He needs for us to be. With our faith being tested, and this is what I don't like, patience is produced. I fret when I see the word patience. Serving Christ requires patience. It requires a lot of patience, and I've been very impatient with God the last 6 months of my life. But I know God's plan is better than mine. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. I'd like to share these verses. I shared 3 with you earlier, but I want to share Romans 5, 3 and 4 again. "We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us in develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. In God's Word, make 3 points. Number one, patience is not a passive acceptance of circumstances. Patience is not an passive acceptance of circumstances. Number two, instead, patience is a courageous perseverance in the face of suffering. It's a courageous perseverance in the face of suffering. Number three, patience, according to what we see in God's Word, is continuing on when our circumstances are difficult. God uses those trials and He uses those tribulations, and He causes us to go through these trials and these tribulations. He sometimes requires us to be patient because sometimes it takes time for His plan to happen. He doesn't want to make speedy decisions like we make. God can do anything He desires to do. He can make anything happen that He desires to happen. He spoke and the universe came into existence. Our trials and our tribulations require patience. And sometimes that patience requires a longer duration of time than others. Because sometimes God uses that trial, He uses that situation, and to work it out according to His purpose, to work it out according to His will. He has a plan behind it, but sometimes some of those trials and tribulations are longer than others. And sometimes we don't understand why it is that sometimes more trials are longer than other ones and why some trials are shorter than other ones. But that's not for us to understand. We're not to question God on those things. You can ask God, and I'm sure He will reveal it to you. But He might not reveal it to you in your time. He will reveal it to you in His time. That's patience. We must have patience in our trials and our tribulations. We have, and when we develop that patience, when we allow God to do what it is that He desires to do through those trials and those tribulations by being patient, that's how we develop endurance. That's how we become stronger in our faith. Let patience do its work. Point number three. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I'll read that again. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Let patience do its work. When we encounter trials, our desire for them is to end quickly and get them over with. Sometimes God doesn't desire to use the trial and the tribulation in that way. Sometimes God works through that trial, and it's not a short duration trial. You look at the agony that Jesus experienced. You look at the suffering that Jesus experienced. Do you really think Jesus wanted to go through that? I bet Jesus was saying, "Go ahead, Lord, take me." As he was crucified up on that cross. Do you think Jesus was sitting there saying, "Let me stay, God, let me stay"? No, he knew God's will, and He knew why He was up there on that cross. Jesus was patient. And He let God use Him how God desired to use Him. Sometimes our trials and our tribulations require us to be that same example of patience. One of the things that we can do is mentioned here in James chapter 1, when your trials require patience, wait patiently and endure the trial. Endure the trial instead of groaning and complaining. We as Christians, what do we do when we have these trials and these tribulations that we go through? A lot of the times, instead of seeking God and seeking His wisdom and doing what God desires for us to do, we sit back and we want to groan and complain. Do you really think that that groaning, do you really think that that complaining is going to get you anywhere? One of the things that my boss has taught me is if there is a problem, don't just come complaining about the problem. Come to him in a meeting and give a solution. That is something we should seek through our trials and our tribulations. Wait patiently for God to do what he desires to do. Wait patiently for God to give you that solution. The last 3 months, there's been a lot of complaining. There's been a lot of groaning. We need to get past that junk. We need to get past that junk and look towards the future and look and see what God is going to do here in the future. God has a vision for this church. He's had a vision for this church for 10 years. We have to keep pursuing that vision today. And while we are in the midst of a trial, while we are in the midst of a tribulation, God is working. Let's let Him work. And let's hush with the complaining. Let's stop with the groaning. Because that's not going to get us anywhere. That's just going to keep pushing us backwards. So let's allow God to do what He desires to do through us and move forward. Let's use the patience that God is giving us to seek His plan for the future. Let's also praise God in the storm instead of complaining. Let's praise God in the storm. One of the reasons that I came up here and read Psalm 96 at the beginning of this service is because each of us has something that we should praise God for this morning. A lot of us, when we come in on Sunday morning, we come in with heavy hearts. We come in with burdens. And yes, it's okay to come into God's house with those burdens. It's okay to come in with a heavy heart. But when you get here, turn it over to God. And allow God to work through those burdens, to work through those trials, to work through those tribulations, because He can work through those situations and be glorified. We can use those situations and cause misery and failure. But the reason that I said, let's give God some praise this morning, is because when we give God praise, we become appreciative of what God is doing in our lives. And it's important that we take time every week. It's important that we take time every day to stand up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's not the best day for me, but I know that you're standing by my side. And I know that you're going to work it out in the best way for it to happen. But I got to be willing to step aside. So praise God in the storm instead of complaining. When patience has the opportunity to work, patience produces maturity. Patience produces maturity. The word perfect that I'm referring to means completeness. It means being made whole. It means being mature. We as God's children, we are never going to be perfect in that aspect. If you think that you are perfect and complete and whole this morning, then you need to get down on the altar. You need to get down on your knees, because each of us has room to grow in our spiritual relationship with God. Maturity only comes when patience has had time to work. Are you being patient with God? Are you being patient with what He's trying to do in your life? I know for me, in many of my trials, I'm not patient. I want immediate answers. But one thing I've learned in my walk the last 10 years with Christ, one thing I've learned is I have to give it to God. I have to say, God, the battle is yours. And I desire for you to work it out the way that you see fit. Because when Dennis works it out, when Dennis loses his patience, and he loses his patience more than he gains patience. When he loses his patience, not only is he letting himself down, he's letting God down. When you're not being patient in your trial, when you're not being patient in your tribulations, when you're not allowing God to do what He desires to do in your life, you're letting God down. And you're keeping God from doing what He wants to do in your life. This morning, I'm going to ask you, are you keeping God from doing what He wants to do in your life? He doesn't want you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to be unhappy. He wants you to be joyful this morning. He wants you to sing praise this morning. If we wish to run the race well, spiritually speaking, we must develop patience. And this patience only comes through the trials in which our faith is put to the test. Point number four. Ask our generous God and He will give it to you. Ask our generous God and He will give it to you. Ask for wisdom from God. We lack God's wisdom and we must be willing to continually seek His wisdom and not our own. Are you seeking God's wisdom in your life this morning? There's been many situations over the last year in my life that I never thought I would face in my life. But one thing I found out in those battles, in those trials, in those tribulations, in those callings that God has put before my eyes, one thing I've noticed is every time that I've come to God in prayer and I've said, God, will You show me Your wisdom? Will You show me what Your plan is? Will You show me what it is that You desire to do in my life at this moment in time? He may not respond the very next moment. He may not respond the very next day. But one thing I've noticed is He does respond. And He does show you His plan. He does give you His wisdom. But you have to pursue it. Are you pursuing His wisdom through your trials? Are you pursuing the victory that is made possible in your trials and your tribulations through Jesus this morning? You have to pursue that wisdom yourself. He has promised to provide us His wisdom. He will not reproach us for asking for His wisdom. Can you put up 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 7 through 12? Now, O Lord my God, You have made me king instead of my father David. But I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of our own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern Your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of Yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because You have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. When given a chance for anything in the world, Solomon asked for an understanding heart. We can go to God with that exact same request. Solomon didn't want. Solomon did not ask God to do the job for him. Solomon asked God for his wisdom to do the job well. In your trials, in your tribulations this morning, are you asking God to get rid of them? Or are you asking God to give you his wisdom so that you can get through them? God desires for you to get through your trials. He desires for you to get through those things this morning. But you have to be pursuing him in the midst. You have to be pursuing his wisdom. You have to be pursuing his knowledge. He desires to get you through those trials. He desires, but he wants to show you something through those trials. He wants your faith to come to increase. He wants you to grow as a result of those trials and those tribulations. But there's lessons to be learned in the things that we go through. And the only way to learn those lessons is to seek God's wisdom. Are you seeking that wisdom this morning in your trials, in your tribulations that you are facing? We should be asking God to give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to follow through on it. In closing today, we must have knowledge and perspective that adversity can accomplish much good. An example of adversity that I think of in my lifetime. Over 200 years ago, the United States of America was founded by some men that sat down and looked at God's word and established a nation. A nation that was founded under God. A nation whose laws were established under God. In the last 200 years, there's been many a war. There's been two world wars. To face adversity. There's been a civil war here in the United States of America, because of differences in opinion. But in light of that adversity, the United States of America remained united. The church today . As I've looked at the last several years, it's broken my heart to see what's happened to the church. I've seen a church that God has put together that some men are trying to tear apart. That ain't gonna happen. What God put together, no man can take apart. And so today, in light of the adversity that we may be facing as an overall church, and in light of the adversity that you may be facing in your lives this morning, there are lessons to be learned, that this is a time to come together as one. This is a time to come together, united in one, united in purpose, united in spirit. And the only way that we can become one, united in spirit, united in purpose, is to pursue God, is to pursue His wisdom, is to do what we just looked at in James chapter 1. Looked at in verses 2 through 8. We should look at our adversity. We should look at our trials and tribulations. We can look at all of these things and consider it a joy to be able to participate in helping the church come back together, in helping our brothers and our sisters get back up on their feet, in helping develop that unity again that God desires within the walls of His church. Where are you at in your relationship with God this morning? I'm telling you, there is victory in Jesus. That's the only place there's victory. There's not victory in this world. There's not victory in our material possessions. There's not victory in our bank account. Those things may get you somewhere for a short period of time. But eventually, the money's going to run out. And eventually, all of those material things, you're going to die. And you're going to be left stranded. But with Jesus, you're never going to be left stranded. With Jesus, you have blood that ensures that you have eternal life. It ensures that you have an eternal security that the world cannot promise. The world will try to promise you material things. The world will try to tell you that they have the answers, but they don't. The only way, the only truth, the only light is Jesus Christ. There's victory in your battles this morning. There's victory in your trials. Are you pursuing Jesus? Because Jesus is pursuing you. Grab a hold of His hand and let Him take you to where He wants to take you.
All right, if you would, stand up. Let's grab someone's hand, and let's pray together. A reminder, too, that the 101 class is after this in that room over there, I believe, the third one, if I'm not mistaken. And just a reminder for the Wednesday night classes again. Even though they've started a couple weeks ago, you can jump in anytime most of these classes, and we'd love to have you there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time. Thank You, Lord, for the message. Lord, it's always been a tough one for me because, Lord, I know it's tough sometimes to consider it joy when we go through trials of many kinds, but Your Word tells us to. And, Lord, when we do, You do promise a peace and a joy that passes all understanding if we're in You, Lord, and if we're focused on You. Help us not to look to the world for the answers, Lord, so that we can have that joy and that peace. Thank You, Lord, for the message You laid on Dennis's heart, and may You bless each one of us, and may we in some way bless You too. We love You, Lord, and we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.